your body get into a comfortable position so that it can completely relax, so that all of the muscles can relax at all of the joints. The muscles don't feel like they have to support you, that the skeleton is actually in a position that's balanced, and that allows all of the muscles to be able to completely relax. And just let yourself be totally in your body, feeling your body, filling your body, and appreciating your body, relaxing. Letting your body relax in your appreciative presence. And take some deep breaths to let go of any of the stress. The inhale can bring in fresh, clean energy, and the exhale can let go of any stressful energy or tension. And let yourself be present, completely present to your mind, to your feelings, to your thoughts, whatever concerns or activities are going on there. Let yourself be totally present without any rejection. Allowing all of those thoughts to be, so that you can be aware of what's actually on your mind. And let yourself be a mentoring or sympathetic presence to any concerns that might be there. An appreciative presence. Let the mind roam or do whatever it is doing. And without trying to control the mind, shift your attention a bit just to your own presence. Just to the simple presence of your own being. To recognize your own presence, you don't need to block out other experiences. because you are the one present to those experiences. So your focus can be on the experiences or thoughts that are coming and going, or the focus can be on your own presence, the one who's present to the thoughts. So just let the focus of attention be more directed toward your own presence, your own being. Let the mind rest in your own presence, whatever its thoughts are, perceptions, all the talking outside, that's a perception. Let all those things be. But let the focus be on your being, and let the mind rest there. And let the body continue to relax. Let the mind relax. Because now it doesn't have to be any particular way that takes a great stress off the mind. Just notice your own simple presence, the what makes you you, this being that you are. Notice what you are like. The simple, awareful being that is you. That conscious being that's labeled as I am, me. When you say the words I am or me, this is me, what is this self-experience that's being labeled? Don't worry about the forms of the body or the mind, but just your essence, when you say I am or me. And let your mind relax into that self that you are. without worrying about the thoughts or perceptions. Let your own presence come into the foreground rather than always being in the background. Again, when you say, I am, I exist. Notice yourself, the one who's labeled by those words. It's the self that's so simply labeled by those words, I am, that we discover to be changeless. To be constant. Present to all experience. Just notice your most intimate sense of self, who you are, not who you're looking for, but who you are, the conscious being that you are, the one who is here now. Body and mind completely relax out into space. Just completely letting go. And let the focus be just on your own presence. Everything else is relaxing to the point of disappearance. So relaxed. That you can't even feel them. So relaxed that there's no boundaries or borders. And now just recognize your own simple presence. You are here. What are you like? What is your presence like? It's quiet, simple, whole. Stable. This self, I am the one present, changelessly present, for all experience. Om Patram Karne Bishrinuyama Devaha Patram Pashe Makshapir Yajatraha Stirai Rangai Istushuvagum Sastanubihi Vishema Devahitam Yadayuhu Swastina Indro Vrittashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha Swasti nastarksho arishtanemihi, swasti no brahaspatir tadatu, om shanti shanti shanti. Press that button and turn it off, it's acting up. I don't know, have any idea why. Can you just press the button?
I didn't, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sometimes it moves. Yeah, okay. Okay, we're on, is it verse 10? Yeah. Hiranyamaye pare koshe. Hiranyamare. Sorry. Hiranyamaye pare koshe. Virajam Brahma Nishkalam, Virajam Brahma Nishkalam, Tetchu Brahm Jyotisham Jyotihi, Tetchu Brahm Jyotisham Jyotihi, Tadyaratma Vido Viduhu,
Vido Viduhu.
Hiranmaye pare koshe virajam brahma nishkalam tetshubram jyotisham jyotihi tet yet atma vidha viduhu. Okay. The last line, the basic sentence, atma vidha viduhu, the atmavids, plural, nominative plural, the atmavids, those who know the self, viduhu, they know yad tat, that which is. Right? Those who know the atma, the atmavids. So atma means the self, vid means the knower of the self. So those who know the atma as that which, yad vad, those who know the Atma, that which is, go to the beginning, Hiranmaye Pare Koshe, in the pare kosha, koshe, locative, all these are locatives, hiranmaye, the golden, or that which is luminous, that which is shining, hiranmaya really means golden. They say golden, they mean that which is jyotish, that which is self-effulgent, that which is shining. So that which is light. So in that pare koshe, in that supreme kosha, that final or exalted kosha, which is shining, luminous. So para, it can mean innermost, but innermost is exalted. So let's take a look here at what they mean by the word kosha. Okay. When we're differentiating the Atma from all of our experience, there are points of identification that are called upadis. And those upadis are sometimes termed as koshas. The first kosha point of identification is the physical body. It's called anamaya kosha. So that's the most external kosha. I can take myself to be this. So this kosha means actually like a sheath or a covering, right? So like the sheath of a sword is a kosha, or of a blade of grass, you know, the sheath that's around the stalk of a blade of grass, that's a kosha. So the physical body is called a kosha. It's called annamaya kosha, the kosha made of food. This physical body is made of food. It's called a kosha because it seems to cover myself. Covers myself not really like a sword, it's actually in a sheath. I seem to be covered by this physical body because of ajnanam, because of ignorance. It allows me to take myself to be this. So it's a covering, a kosha in that way. So this is the outermost kosha. If we go in a little bit, there's the pranamaya kosha, that covering which has to do with the vital force and the breath, all of the circulatory system, the digestive system, the in and out going breath. That's a kosha because I can identify with that as being me. Right? So that's going inward a little bit. Then there's the manomaya kosha. Maya means made of. That kosha, that sheath that's made of the mind. So all of the fluctuating thoughts, the moods, the emotions, that's the manas. I can go in even further, one more, into the vijnanamaya kosha. That's the buddhi, the intellect where we have decisive thinking, where we have knowledge, where we have the ahankar, the one who knows, determinative thinking. You know, that's the buddhi. So I see we're going in because the buddhi is the one that would make a comment on the manas, right? I am sad, right? It's commenting on the manas, or it's able to. It's interior to the manas, interior to the breath. Oh, my breath seems to be a little out of order. Right? So the buddhi is where the ahankara is, also, and where there's determinative thinking. So that also becomes a kosha, a covering for myself. But then there's one interior to that. The innermost kosha is called the anandamaya kosha. And in that kosha, that's where the atma shines. In this sense, there isn't identification with anything else. Right? The mind at that, when the antakarana is not identified or engaged in anything else, it's just simply reflecting the atma. And that anandamaya kosha is the experience of wholeness or bliss or happiness, right? And so this anandamaya kosha is for, and it's a kosha because you'll say, I'm happy now. Right? I'm having an experience of happiness. And also, because it's a kosha, sometimes the experiences of happiness are greater, sometimes less, right? Depending on really how disengaged or how quiet, how much shanti is there in the mind. And so that anandamaya kosha, just to give you an idea of it, when you fulfill a desire, right, there's a moment at the fulfillment of the desire when the mind is not engaged. Not because it's satisfied. You've just filled the desire. You know, I need this to be happy. That's the setup. I need this to be happy. You've fulfilled the desire. And at that moment of fulfillment, the mind is not engaged. It now doesn't have any comment to make. It hasn't yet said, and now I want this. Or, and it hasn't yet said, somebody could take that away from me. So there's a moment of disengagement there. And in that moment, the only thing that is happening in the mind is yourself, because there's no engagement with anything else. So the mind is you see what's happening? The mind is completely quiet at that time and not looking anywhere. And so that mind is now in a condition where different varieties of happiness, bliss, joy will be experienced. And so we say that Anandamaya Kosha, because it's the closest to myself, right? It's not engaged in anything in the world. It's the closest to myself. So that Anandamaya Kosha, we say, is Hiranmaye. It's golden, right? It's shining, right, with consciousness. It's shining with awareness. And it's Pare. It's supreme. In the sense, it's innermost. It's the closest to the self, right? So Hiranmaye. Pare koshe. So in this kosha, which is the Anandamaya kosha, what it says, Virajam Brahma Nishkalam. Brahma is there. Okay. Brahma is to be found there. Brahma, which is Virajam, means not the mind at that time and the nature of the self, which is shining in that mind, that self which is shining there, that is Brahman. And that self is Virajam. There's no ignorance there, there's no kartritvam, there's no doership, there's no enjoyership, there's no engagement that I want this or I want that. There's simply, because no ignorance and no ahankara, nothing, just simple reflection of being. It's all that's there, right? When the ahankara comes, now the buddhi has come, and that's going to comment on that. But when the Anandamaya kosha is there, there's no commentator, right? There's no one saying, oh, look how happy I am. That's the buddhi. That's the ahankara that comes in comments. The Anandamaya kosha, it's just a resolved mind. And resolved into what? Into the self. And so that mind, that state of mind is going to be experiencing some bliss. Brahman, the Atma, is the content of that vritti. But the Atma is the one that illumines that vritti, abides in the vritti. Vritti means the Anandamaya kosha. It abides in the vritti and it illumines the vritti. The vritti means the thought modification, which is the kosha in this verse, the Anandamaya kosha, is not involved in any type of activity and is not focused anywhere. Right? So it's just simply resolved into the self. In that condition, the mind experiences happiness or bliss. So we say it's closest to the self. What needs to be differentiated is the wholeness of my being that is the self of that vritti. Right? But there's still a differentiation, because the vritti, by its quietude or lack of quietude or more quietude, experiences more and less degrees of bliss. Your being is not experiencing more or less degrees of bliss. Your being is whole and complete, and it's the very self that's illumining that vritti. That being that has found its home in the Anandamaya kosha. Why? Because the Anandamaya kosha isn't looking at anything else. Right? And so that Anand, and the one who is there in that Anandamaya kosha, is Virajam, free from any type of impurities, and Nishkalam. Nishkalam means the Atma that is there, no impurities, no ignorance, no activity, no kartritvam or bhoktritvam, doership or enjoyership. None of that's there. It's also, because of that also, it's nishkalam. It has no parts. It has no parts. It has no size. It has no parts. It has no size. It is just your presence. It doesn't have a right side or a left side. It doesn't have an up or a down. It is just your presence. And so how to recognize that presence that doesn't have a right side or a left side or an up or a down, that is not active, that is not covered by ignorance, right? That is not is not suffering from doership or enjoyership. It is simply being. When you say, even right now, if you focus on the me, when you say me, or your own being, it doesn't have a right side or a left side. It doesn't have an up or a down. There's not a side to you. There's not a side to consciousness. There's not a part. You don't have parts. Consciousness, your presence, doesn't have any parts. So now you have to say, okay, this is not a hypothetical consciousness that we're talking about. This is me. This is the me. So when you say me, what is that experience? Is it nishkalam? Does your own presence have parts to it? We'd say no. It has no parts. There's not two ways to know it. You can't know it from the right side or the left side. You can't know half of it. You can't know the upper half or the bottom half. It's free from parts, and so you either recognize yourself or you don't. There's not two ways to recognize yourself, because there's nothing behind it, there's nothing above it, there's nothing to the side. So it's just simply you. And so you either know you or you don't. Right? You don't partially know yourself. You can't partially know yourself. You can partially know yourself in its relationship with the creation, or relationship with the body, relationship understanding yourself contextually, because it's a big universe. You know, and there's many, many ways I can see myself as related. That all involves clarity, and that all involves teaching. To remove all of those doubts about who I am in reference to the whole. But this me that we're talking about, you're not going to know partially. You know it or you don't, because there's no sides to it. There's no parts to it. There's no other way that it could be. Right? So it's the me experience is the me experience. You can't do anything about it. And one way to understand that, it's when, even when we do this type of meditation where you're sitting, I say, you know, relax and bring your own, bring your own being to the forefront. You know, don't bother with anything. Don't try to control anything. Just recognize yourself there, right? That self that is most intimately you, the self that you refer to when you say, I am. It's not anybody else. It's who you actually refer to when you say, I am. When you recognize that, see if you can change it. See if you can change yourself. If you can change it, it's your mind. If you can change it, it's a thought. If you can dismiss it, or like for instance, most of you probably are not thinking right now of your right little toe. I doubt it. But if I ask you to, then you can, right? But now with the Atma, you can't get rid of yourself. Like that. You can get rid of your experience of the world and your experience of the body and your experience of your sense organs and your experience of your thoughts. You can get rid of them. You can change them. You can change your focus. But you can't do that for yourself. Whatever focus you're changing in terms of your perceptions, you're always there as the constant. That being so, when you recognize this constant me, your own presence, try to change it. Try to do something to shake it or to make it go away, like you can with everything else. Absolutely everything else you can do that with. You can block it out of your experience. But with your own presence, you can't do that. We block the body, the one we're most identified with. I am this body-mind complex. We drop this body from our experience all the time. What about when you're reading a book, you're listening to music, you're engaged in a conversation with a friend, you're listening to a class like this, and your mind gets totally engrossed in the vision that's being given? There's no experience of the body. You know, but I'm not saying the body's not here. I'm just saying, what remains as the constant experience that cannot be not experienced? In fact, your body is only experienced through your sense organs. If you didn't have any sense organs, good. if you lost your sense organs one after another, body would still be here. But you would have no awareness of it whatsoever. This is why you know the body, through your sense organs. So if your sense organs aren't engaged, right? If your mind is not engaging your sense organs, then the perception of the body will not be here. If your mind is not engaging your sense organs to perceive something, then the sense organs aren't functioning. It's very simple. And so what is being perceived? The thoughts in your mind, or the feelings, or the imagination, or the daydream. Right? That's what's being perceived. What about when you quieten the daydream, or quieten the mind? Then that's not being perceived. What about when the mind is asleep? When the mind is asleep, it's not being perceived at all. So that means actually consciousness doesn't belong to the mind. It can't belong to the mind. Because when the mind is gone, when the mind is in unmanifest condition, there's no thoughts, there's no activity taking place at all. So now, when I can dismiss everything in the creation, which makes sense that I should be able to dismiss it if it's something objectifiable, that leaves me with myself, the one that can't be dismissed. And who is that self? Who is that self going to be? Can I say in the meditation, what are you like? How would you describe, Ryan, what I mean by that when I say those words? How do you describe yourself? Right? Because, look, right now, here you are, seated in this body, with your sense organs, with your mind. You are here. Right? And now slowly we recognize, okay, I am here. The one that I take to be me. And when I say, I am here, then the I am, those words, I am, are referring to me. Okay? That's correct. So the words are referring to me. Now what we do is let the words continue to refer to you, the I am here, I am. And then notice that this presence of myself is here, and as I objectify everything else, right? Keep your presence there on this I am here, and then recognize, okay, I am here and I'm aware of this body. I am here and I'm aware of my sense organs. I am here and I'm aware of my mind and my moods and my thoughts. I am here and I'm aware of the I thought. I am here. Who is this I? What is this I like? Once you recognize it, then see if you're never not here. Even in the most darkest of times or lightest of times, even when the Anandamaya Kosha, bliss in the mind, I am here. Same I. It's just that with the Anandamaya Kosha, there's no activity in the mind. It's just simply reflecting the self, kind of like the sun. Reflected in a very clear water bucket, how the sun fills it. When my mind is very quiet, you know, there's no distraction at all. But the problem with this, you know, the problem with it is that this blissful, quiet mind, which is considered the supreme kosha, because it's closest to myself, right? And it reflects me, so there's ananda in it. It's the closest to me. Yeah? But we can't mistake that for me. That's the thing. It's the home. It's the closest to me. Right? But I am the one that illumines it. That's what makes it a kosha. It's the closest to me, but I am the one that illumines it. You can say, the sun illumines the clear, clear, clear water. It's so clear, that's the Anandamaya Kosha. So clear, it's not engaged in any rippling. It's not engaged in anything. It's just absolutely resolved and clear. The sun is shining and reverberating in that water. Right? And so that water is having an experience, right, of the sun shining through it. It's having its own little experience. But the sun that's illumining that water is different, right? So I need to recognize myself that is just the one there in the Anandamaya Kosha, which is not paying attention to anything else, but just recognize my own stable presence that is different than bliss. It is its own being, its own bliss. My being is my own bliss, the bliss that is there in the middle of my miserable mind. That ananda, that's why we don't call it bliss, we say ananda. That limitlessness, changelessness of myself, that beautiful self that I wouldn't want to be any other way, that's why ananda, the most beloved, that is there even when the mind is engaged in emotions and in sorrows and in hardships. But when the anandamaya kosha is there, there's nothing else, right? It's just like kind of like a mirror. But I don't need a mirror. I don't need a mirror for the self-experience, for me. The self-experience that I am, that belongs to me, right? The self-experience is its own experience. It does not need or benefit from a mirror lighting it up, you know? Think like this. I'm looking at my face in a mirror. Here's the mirror. If I'm looking at my face in a mirror, there I am in the mirror. Okay. What is the mirror adding to me? There's my face. The reflection is there in the mirror. And it's a really clean mirror. It's a beautiful, beautiful, clean mirror. There is my face. It's perfectly reflected. Have I become the reflection in the mirror? Has my being changed by the reflection in the mirror? The mirror is having an experience. I'm reflected in it. If we can talk like that. Mm-hmm. Right? But really, in terms of me, of the conscious being that I am, you know, I'm not having a different experience. My experience belongs to me. It doesn't belong to the mirror. Similarly, when I have this anandamaya kosha with such a beautiful mind, it's not engaged in anything else. It's just, it feels so whole and completely blissful, right? That's a wonderful state. We all love that. That's what keeps the world going. And that's what we meditate for, too. People meditate so we can have a bliss experience. And not that we should, but that's, you know, let's have a bliss experience, right? But what we need to recognize is the one who's having the bliss experience. The bliss experience comes and goes, right? But I am the one who's there illumining that. What am I like? This me. And it is this me that we say Swarupa Ananda. This is the Ananda, the changeless Ananda, which is my own being. And we can use words like Ananda or love, wholeness, fullness, completeness. We have all of these words. These words are okay, but the words have to land on you for you to know what they mean. Because if we say a word like love, there's so many varieties of love out here. And there's love, more love, and more profound experience of love. That's, you know, more quiet. So all types of variables in terms of experience. So the word love is a pointer. It can't be the love that lands on here. It has to point to you, and then you have to say, oh yeah, I can see why they would use that word. Because there's nothing out here like that. So the word points to you, and you say, oh, that, yeah, that makes sense. Or what about the word, I am completely stable? Yeah, that makes sense. Stable, because nothing can change me or move me. So these words have to be descriptors, pointers to your own being, because there's nothing like that in samsara. There's nothing like that in the world. So the words have to work like that. So here it says, this Brahman, Brahman means the self which is infinite, the self which is the self of all beings. This Brahman is virajam. There's no impurities. It is only what it is. It doesn't have, it's nishkalam, it has no parts. It's not two ways, it's only one way. And so this Brahman, which is free from any raga, dvesha, likes or dislikes, or doership or avidya or ignorance. It's completely free from that. This Brahman is Nishkalam, the one who's there in this supreme kosha, this golden kosha. And because of all that, that is the Brahman, that because it's Nishkalam and because it's without any type of raga, dvesha, likes or dislikes, it's Shubram, it's completely pure. And that Brahman is who? Jyotisham Jyotihi. That Brahman is the consciousness, is the light of lights. It is the light, it's the Jyotish, that Brahman is that which is the Atma, is the light of lights. So here the verse says, so I can go back to this Jyotisham Jyotihi. The ones who know the self, the Atmavids, they know that which is Jyotisham Jyotihi, which is the light of lights. Now, the next verse will explain this more, but just to understand. If I'm looking out into this room right now, my eyes can see these forms because of that light. If I turn the lights off, then my eyes can't see the form. So these forms, all of these forms, are not self-luminous. They need to be, they need a light to shine on them in order for me to see them. Right? If they were self-luminous, then we don't need to bring in any luminaries to light them up. But they're not. They're inert. They're not shining. We need to bring in some light to light them up so that I can see them. Right? And so all of this requires light to be seen. Now, to be seen by my eyes. But in order for my eyes to see them, now that the light is here, my eyes themselves have to have some light. In other words, if my eyes are here, the light is here, lighting up all of these objects, and my eyes are here focused on the objects, but my mind is daydreaming, then my eyes also are not lit up, right? My eyes aren't lit up in order to become aware of these objects, right? These objects are not lit up. They require luminaries to light them up. But then for me to see them, for my eyes to see them, my eyes themselves have to be lit up. Okay? What lights up the eyes? The mind, right? If the mind isn't backing the eyes don't work. And so if the eyes aren't working, then I can't see this room. And so my eyes depend upon the light of the mind to light it up. But then what lights up my mind? Right? Because my mind by itself is not lit. My mind itself is known. Right? And when the mind goes into unmanifest condition in deep sleep, it's not lit up at all. So the light of the mind that the mind enjoys isn't its own. Right? And the mind also, it's thought after thought after thought after thought, all of which are lit up. So what is the light that lights up the mind then able to light up the sense organs then able to light up the sense objects. You see what that is? So that's the Jyotihi Jyotisham. Of all of the luminaries that are here, I am the light. I am the light of the lights. Because without the light of consciousness, none of these things shine. Right? Think about it. All of these luminaries, whether you take the sun, the moon, the fire, the ones that the sun, the stars, the fire, and the sun, the moon, the stars, and the fire are usually what they talk about. And we'll see in the next verse what they talk about as luminaries. These luminaries light up the world. Right? But my eyes light up the luminaries. But then my mind lights up, right, the eyes. And then I light up the mind. And so this light, those who know the Atmavids know this Atma, they know the Atma, to be the light of the lights. And that light of the lights is Brahman. Brahman, who is Nishkalam, without any parts, who is Shubram, absolutely pure, who is Viraja, for Virajam means there are no ignorance, no kartritvam, bhoktritvam, no doership or no enjoyership. Just that pure being, which is there shining in the Anandamaya Kosha, right? When the mind is just totally, here's the mind, totally just resolved, who is left? Right, the mind's not focused on anything. Who is left? The one that lights up the mind. Right? Who is that? That's the Atma. The one who lights up the mind. When the mind is totally withdrawn and Anandamaya Kosha, you know, what is that experience of absolute wholeness and fullness? There's no world here. Anandamaya Kosha, there's no world happening. Right? It's just your mind is quiet for that moment. And who lights that up? Me. The Atma. And it is that Atma that is the light of all lights. There is no light behind that Atma. That Atma is the light. The light is the light of consciousness. And it is this consciousness that is absolutely whole and complete. It is the one that is there when the mind is totally quiet. The Swamiji will joke also, the lazy man samadhi. Just go to sleep. You know, just go to sleep. And then there's no world, right? There's no mind, no sense organs, no problems, no ahankara. The whole world is dismissed. The jiva is dismissed, the body, the mind, the sense organs, all dismissed. Wonderful. Because yeah? I'm just there by myself, right? Without everything else is in avyakta, unmanifest condition. It's not causing any problem, total ignorance. And that's just me, no problem. If it's just me, all is well. Right? All is well. Because all is well with the self. So what is knowledge? Knowledge is recognizing myself, who all is well at all times. There's no other condition for the self. The self doesn't have any parts. So for yourself, all is well at all times. There's no variation. So your mind can be running all around, creating all kinds of problems. But yourself isn't running around. And so, in fact, for the jnani, the one who has knowledge and their mind is still, you know, working things out in the world, the one who has knowledge can just bring the mind home. Right? Because you're there. Right? You are there. And so you can tell, the mind can tell itself, okay, just come home. Come home where all is well. Yeah, you know. Just come home to me where all is well. And all always will be well. See what I mean? It's not like all is sometimes well and sometimes not well. No. All is well. Because there's no parts, no change, no differentiation. There, so that's it. So that's enough. I'll stop there. Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.